Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Please be seated. Today's gospel lesson takes us to that familiar text, that text of the first Easter evening, that text with 10 of the 12 disciples locked away out of fear of man. Locked away out of fear of what the world could do to them. And Jesus appears and speaks his peace to them. He appears in the flesh, in the middle of a locked upper room, true God in the flesh, fully using his divine authority, his divine power. And he speaks peace. True God in the flesh, having given up his life for their forgiveness, does not hold their cowardice. He does not hold their denial against them. He is not there for vengeance. He is there to bring peace. And he commands that that peace be spoken to others. Real peace. Not peace as the world might try to give it. No, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. For the peace of God is that peace which Christ Jesus has earned for all by laying down his life as the bloody sacrifice for sin. It is the peace that is on full display in the resurrected Jesus. It is the peace that he commands his apostles then to speak, his sent ones to speak, the exercising of the keys, forgiving the sins of the repentant, but retaining the sins of the impenitent as long as they do not repent. You heard and you confessed this truth right before the keys were exercised publicly in this church this morning. I said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And you said, but if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then you made a confession of your sins, and I, in turn, following Jesus' authority and his commands, spoke the forgiveness that Jesus won. I spoke it to you here and now. That Jesus himself commanded that that would happen today for you. That he gives his keys to the whole church, which means that yes, you as Christians also forgive one another, and publicly then in this place and privately in the sacred act of private confession and absolution, those keys are then exercised. And through them, Jesus brings peace. He brings his forgiveness to us here and now through these wonderful words of absolution. But the opposite can also happen. Jesus commands that forgiveness sometimes must be withheld from the impenitent. This is also something that pastors must do because Jesus commands it also. For the one who does not confess their sin is calling God a liar. It is, as we confessed at the beginning, that the truth is not in them. And in order that they might learn not to blaspheme, they are then held in judgment, both in earth, on the earth, and in heaven, just as Jesus said. But the goal of even such harsh words, the goal is repentance. The goal then is not to cast them out, but to convince them to repent and thus hear the words of absolution again. Repentance is always Jesus' goal. This is where Thomas is at in our gospel lesson. Disbelief, unbelief, impenitence. Had he died before Christ renewed his faith, he would have gone to hell. It's just not honest to make his sin as some kind of simple or easy doubt. No, the quote-unquote doubts of Thomas are very clearly unbelief. A That's why Jesus says, do not disbelieve. Thomas shows this unbelief in God in that his comments about Christ and his wounds from his crucifixion is profane. He is profane in his speech about Christ to the other disciples. He expresses no faith whatsoever. He calls God a liar. Do not be mistaken. Doubts are the enemy of your faith. And your faith, St. John in our epistle today calls your faith the victory that you have been given over the world. He says everyone that is born of God has overcome the world. He says that your faith in Christ Jesus is being born of God. He says that the faithful and are victorious over the world. He says this word that we know all the time, Nike. You know it as a shoe brand. But it's actually the Greek word for victory. And it occurs repeatedly in our epistle lesson today. The victory you have is when you believe in Jesus. That's what John's gospel says as well. That without faith in Jesus, there is no victory, there is no life, there is only death. This is, of course, the danger of being found outside of the absolution, having your sins retained, of entertaining and focusing on your doubts rather than confessing them as the enemy of your faith. The enemy, that is, of your overcoming the world that they really are. So what do? When the world comes with its temptations to doubt, to call God a liar, to cast aside his truth for the latest knowledge, or to hurt or harm you for being a Christian. You see, you endure. You endure whatever the world may have for you, whatever the world may have to give you on account of Jesus, because of Jesus and you being born of God, of you having faith in Christ, that you are already victorious over the world. You have already overcome the world. That those martyrs in Sri Lanka last week, they were victors over the world. No evil, false religion of their murderous father, Satan, can change that fact. In fact, their bombs only ushered the faithful into heaven. That's the totality of the victory that Christians have because of Jesus. That even if the world takes away their earthly life, they're still the ones that are victorious. They still have victory forever. They have life forever. That the world cannot touch the peace of God that is found in Christ Jesus. The world cannot change the victory that we have in being born of God. That is, of having faith in Jesus. This Jesus, St. John says, came by water and by blood. This is the testimony of the Roman soldier spoken of in the crucifixion, that when the spear pierced the side of Jesus, water and blood flowed out from it. There is great beauty in this image of the water and the blood flowing out from the side of Christ. That when God created the woman from the man, he took her from man's side. And thus, when God creates the church, the bride of Christ, he does so from his side. For those who are born of God are born of water and the Spirit. They are those who are washed clean, made pure in the blood of the Lamb of God, water and blood. Water like that of holy baptism, where Christ sprinkles us clean, makes us Christians by giving us his Holy Spirit, and this the victorious gift that we have by having faith in Christ. His supper, where his blood is poured into your mouths for you to drink and to receive the forgiveness of sins earned by Christ at Calvary when he shed that same blood for you. The water and the blood from Christ's side the very things that are indeed the life of the church. And the third witness makes it all possible, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who gives us the very Word of God that is the Scriptures that are the basis of all these things like baptism and the Supper, that these three, the water, the blood, and the Spirit, they agree. They agree about the testimony of what Jesus has done for us. Now this has great application for you, that the testimony of men is one thing. St. John even says that. The world will definitely give a testimony against you. It may even try to convince you to think that you are not of God. It may accuse and vex you horribly. But that is, of course, just the testimony of men. St. John says there is a greater testimony. It is the testimony of God. It is the testimony that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and redeemed you. And that you have been born of water and the Spirit, and you receive the blood of Christ by faith when you believe that Christ Jesus was sent by God to redeem you. When you believe what God says through His inspired, Spirit-filled Word about these things. That even if your heart tries to condemn you, the testimony of God concerning you is greater. Testimony of God is greater than your feelings. It's greater than your thoughts. The testimony of God is the comfort that you have in your baptism. That there in your baptism, God said, "This one is my child forever. This one is given new birth, new life." That God said, "This one is now washed in the blood of my Son Jesus. This one is one for whom Christ has died and is risen for as well. This one is my child." Indeed, this is what God said to you in your baptism. He said, "You are His." That in your baptism, God gave you faith in Jesus. And that faith in Jesus is your victory over the world. That you have it now, as you've had it all along. As Jesus spoke of that peace and that forgiveness to those 10 who were hiding away in fear on that Easter evening, He speaks peace and forgiveness to you. The testimony of God is greater than the testimony of men. And you have this testimony in yourself. Because the Word of God has been implanted in you. The Word is in there. And may it always stay in there. Jesus restored Thomas to faith. And indeed, He restored Thomas to a beautiful confession of faith. "My Lord and my God." Jesus. Thomas came from unbelief to faith in Christ because of Christ's work for him. The testimony of God was greater than the testimony of Thomas. And you have something greater. The testimony given to you by the water, the blood, and the Spirit. The testimony that is the Word of God, that blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That you are truly blessed people. Alleluia, Christ is risen.